Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader. I am a coach, singer-songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Kristen Helmstetter as my guest for Love Your Music this week. Tune in for a conversation about her book, Coffee Self-Talk, can help you live a happier and more fun life. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so happy to have you on the show and to talk to you about your book. Oh, my gosh. I just, you know, as soon as I got it, I saw it on Instagram. I got it first on Kindle, read it, and then liked it so much, I got the hardcover copy, which I've been reading now and making notes in the margins. But I just... I love books that are fun, and the cover itself seemed fun. I also happen to love coffee, so that really appealed to me, too.
Yeah, it's funny. It's appealed to a lot of people, just the coffee, and they said, you had me at coffee.
Right. I mean, if it had been a latte, it would probably have appealed to me even more because I like non-fat lattes. I make it with myself with a little foamer thing in the morning, but... Yeah, I love the idea though of combining the coffee and the self talk, and oh wow, I just I'd like to know where you want to start with talking about it. Do you want to talk first about the book, or do you want to talk first about your blog to give people a little background?
Well, we can start with the blog. It kind of started there. It's kind of chicken or egg. I don't know. But my blog, Happy Sexy Millionaire, it's titled that way because it's my mindset. And I created this mindset because of my coffee self-talk. So there you go, the chicken or the egg. But I get asked often, you know, what's with the Happy Sexy Millionaire? And to me, it's my mindset. And it's the three things that I wanted something short and punchy that I could kind of have as a mantra or meditate on. And the happy part is my attitude, and the sexy part, so it's like my brain, my mental health, and the sexy is the body part, you know, when you feel sexy, you feel youthful, and that was just the word that was like a zinger to me. And then the millionaire is like the success, the career. And so with my mindset, my body, and my career, Happy Sexy Millionaire, it sparked joy in me when I thought it. And it became kind of like my own personal little vision statement for my life. So I put it out on the blog, and I said, I'm really happy and I feel really sexy and the millionaire part's coming. But you know, it's like we've talked before, the millionaire mindset for me doesn't necessarily have to be dollars, though I am striving for that, but it's freedom. You know, it's I feel like a millionaire because I've created this life with a sense of freedom, control over my schedule, you know, waking up when I want to, that kind of thing. So Happy Sexy Millionaire came about because it was what I wanted to do and be.
Ah, and you know what? You hit on it exactly. I mean, to me, it's never been about the dollars, having a pile of money in the room or something. It's about the freedom, the idea of freedom. That appeals to me. So when I think of millionaire as meaning freedom, that really resonates with me. And then I really get what you're saying, though, about happy and the mindset and about that. That really makes sense. The sexy part is interesting how you describe that because it does – I'd never thought about it until you just said that way, but it does give you a picture of someone who's youthful and fully alive and fully comfortable being who they are and being in their body and appreciating their body and their mind both, not just one or the other, you know?
Exactly. I mean, I toyed with different words. I'm like, healthy, fit, or happy fit millionaire, or happy, healthy millionaire. And I was like, no, that's not what's spark and joy for me, like Marie, what's the
Kondo,
art
I think
and,
it is, yeah.
Marie Kondo, yeah. When people go through their closet to see if something sparks joy, I do that with my self-talk in words, and that's how I narrow down what affirmations I use. And so that's what the sexy did for me. And so,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Yeah, I use that a lot, too, when I'm posting on Instagram in the morning. I remember Gabby Bernstein had a book out called God is My Publicist. Well, joy is my inner being. That's my inner being's name. And so joy is my publicist. And so I have to ask I always ask myself, does this spark joy for me? Because I don't want to post anything that doesn't spark joy for me. And I ask a lot of times the question, what sparks joy for you? Because I like people to think about that, about what sparks joy for them. And questions make such a difference. Whether just tweaking questions a little bit can give you either a really joyful and positive outcome, or it can make you feel bad. So it's a huge difference. And I could really relate to that. The sparking.
Yeah,
joy.
I love asking questions. It's how I drill really deep. You know, dig deep into things and unpack things. It's like if there's something that just kind of rattles me, right? I first ask, well, like, what's making me feel this way? Like, why do I feel rattled? And then I might come up with something, and then I'm like, well, but why is that? And I'll probably go 3, 4, 5 levels down of whys, and then I'm like, oh, because it affected my freedom, or oh, because I had fear. It was based on fear. And so when you dig deep with questions like that, I mean, it's really profound, the focus you can come out on the other side with.
Oh, totally, yeah. I go into a lot about questions in my book. In fact, I've got a whole chapter that's called Ask Empowering Questions. And it's, you know, it's so important. And then why questions? You were saying about why questions. Why questions are so powerful, as you know, because they always come up with because answers. So I've realized that to ask why questions, I'm very careful how I word them. Instead of saying, well, why me? I say, why do I feel that way? You're right. I mean, that way you're getting to why you feel that way instead of thinking that it's going to be just, oh, it's always going to be that way, which the self-talk helps with as well. But do you find that the questions also help you come up with some of the affirmations?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, if I were nervous to do something, or I was having a hard time figuring out, am I nervous about this, or is this just some kind of weird form of excitement cloaked in nervousness? and I ask these questions and I dig down deep, like going public speaking, you know, you know, doing TV interviews, you know, things like that. And if I really dig down deep, you know, I can find fear at the base of so many things. And then once I know what it is, I'm like, oh, okay, let me shift my mindset. And I know how to shift my mindset. I do it with my self-talk. And then I can go to work on that.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And you're right. I mean, there was a question Sonia Choquette had asked years ago in one of the workshops I had with her. It was, what would I do if I weren't afraid? Which is a really interesting one to ask, because, you know, I go around thinking that I'm not afraid of things. And then I think when I ask that question, all of a sudden I think, well, if I wasn't afraid, I would do. And then I realize, uh-oh, there's still things I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is, we all have fears. I mean, anytime we're going to do something new, we're going to feel some fear. But fear and excitement, as you were just getting at with the mindset, fear and excitement can feel very similar. And if you focus on the excitement, it helps neutralize the fear, I've found. So, you know,
Yeah, exactly. Yep, totally.
So your book, Coffee Self-Talk, recently made it onto the UK's Sunday Times bestsellers list. So tell us about the book. Tell us what about the book and about it getting on the bestseller list.
Okay, so Coffee Self-Talk is my basically 5-minute ritual that I do every morning that amps me up for my day. It focuses my mind, and I've learned through self-talk, I know how important and vital it is to living my most magical life, because my self-talk determines, it starts to shape how I feel. And when I feel great, then everything else is great. So like no matter what the conditions are outside my life, whether it's a pandemic or somebody has an illness or something, I am in control of my reaction to that. And I control how I feel about that. And I can control how I feel about things by starting with words and the thoughts in my head. So I linked coffee and self-talk every day, because we all drink our coffee or water or whatever you do in the morning, but a lot of people drink coffee. Yeah, or tea, and you're usually with your phone scrolling through email or social media or whatever, and I just thought, what an amazing time to connect my self-talk with something, create a ritual out of it so that I always do it. So it's like,
right.
What I do when I drink my coffee, the two are linked together. So it became this amazing ritual I was doing. And I was just writing down my affirmations in the application on my iPhone, the Notes app. And I would just write all kinds of great affirmations, and I would put in lyrics from songs that pumped me up and maybe quotes from books. And I just scrolling through every morning with my coffee and just feeling so good as a result. And so I wrote a book about it to share what I've done with my self-talk, linking it to coffee, and how it's really helped me live my most magical life, because it all starts with our self-talk. So that's what the book's about. It talks about self-talk and what it is, and it talks about the benefits of it, and there's things in there about how to have what I call alternative perspective techniques. If something comes your way that is less than ideal, I help you find other ways to look at it so they can get back on your train of joy. And then I teach you how to write your own scripts, but I include in part two of the book a bunch of scripts that I use personally, and they have all different topics. So there is finding love, there is career and success and abundance, and there's healing and health and longevity, and so there's a bunch of scripts in the back. So the book it's doing very well, and like I said, people either, they love the cover, they love the title, and some people know what self-talk is, but they're intrigued by the coffee part. Some people don't know what self-talk is, but they're intrigued by the coffee part. And it started selling really well, and it made it on the top 10 Sunday Times UK bestseller list. So I'm just absolutely tickled pink about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, all of what you said is so true about why it appealed to me, and why, I mean, I had definitely heard of self-talk from Louise Hay and from a lot of other authors, and so I was very aware of it. And I love that Louise Hay used to say, what you talk about also in your book, is that affirmations or self-talk can be positive or negative. I mean, the fact that you call it, when we call it an affirmation, it sounds like it would just be a good thing, right? But you can also say things that are not, or that are going to make you feel bad, and that's an affirmation that your subconscious mind hears as well. And I think that's a really important point for people to realize, that it's a really good idea to start paying attention to what we are saying to ourselves, especially every day.
Yeah, it's profound. You know, I used to, you know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was confident. You know, I thought, you know, I'm pretty smart. I'm capable, right? So I figured I had decent self-talk. And when I really took a microscope to it, and I actually was tallying up, counting the number of negative thoughts I would have and the number of positive ones, even if the positive outweighs the negative, which in my case it did, those negative have an effect. I mean, it's just, and it's, it's like death of a thousand cuts, right? I mean, they all add up, and they can really dim your shine. And so I got really good at not having it in my life. And so some people will write to me and they'll say, oh, I have such bad self-talk, I don't even know how to stop. And I say, you know what, don't even try to stop. Let's just fill up your brain with good stuff, because guess what? Your brain isn't going to do both at the same time. So as you do more positive self-talk, the negative will naturally start to prune away in your brain, will slither away back into the darkness, and you just keep filling yourself with positive stuff, even if you don't believe it. I mean, like, that's the mind-blowing thing is you don't even have to believe it at first. You can fake it till you make it because your brain is listening. It's just, it's there with like a notepad taking orders from you. If you say something bad, it's like, oh, okay, she wants this bad stuff to come. No, she wants good stuff. Oh, well, I'm going to make the good stuff happen. And so you just keep filling up your head with beautiful, loving thoughts and exciting thoughts. And over time, it takes root.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it reminds me of if you think of like filling up teacup or a coffee cup, you know, and you keep putting more and more in it of what you want to drink, not what you don't want to drink. I mean, the same type of idea, you know, you're filling up your mind and your subconscious mind, especially with these ideas. And, you know, I've joined the Facebook group that you have for coffee self-talk on Facebook. I think it's called the Coffee Self-Talk Group, right? Isn't that what
mm-hmm.
it's called? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing watching all the people and how many people comment and how many people like the things and the comments. Some of the people, especially the newer people to the book, have these comments about, oh, I've been feeling so down, what can I do? And then other people start trying to help them, and it's really cool to watch.
Yeah, it's a really powerful group, and it's very uplifting, and there will be people who are vulnerable, and they put themselves out there, and they say, I'm reading the book, and I still want more help, and people chime in, like you said. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed it a lot, and it really is. I don't know when you started the group or even how many people are in it, but it does seem like it is definitely positive, uplifting, and people seem to want to help each other. And so, yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I have my own personal mission statement for, you know, my work and what I want to do in the world is that I want to make the world a happier place one person at a time. And if I can do that through someone reading my book or, you know, chatting with somebody or through social media, then it's like when I get an email and someone says, I read your book, I started doing it, I immediately started feeling better. I hear like a little ding-ding in my head, like an angel getting their wings or something. Because it's like, oh, yes, there's one of the people. I said I wanted to help one person at a time. And the group is really great for that because they're all helping each other. And I love that.
Yeah, I know, because it's like you hardly ever even show up in it, which is fine. I mean, because you wouldn't be able to do anything else if you just dealt with your Facebook group. But it's really interesting because you're right. I mean, the people that have read it and understand it help the other people who are newer, and it just has been growing and growing and you know, in a good way.
Yeah,
I love that, the idea, a happier place, one person at a time. It reminds me of when I was really, really young, I remember seeing an interview in a magazine, and this woman said that what she wanted to do is to make the world a happier place because she was in it. And, you know, that's always resonated with me, is the idea of making the world a happier place, one person at a time. I love that because, you know, none of us can, you get overwhelmed anyway if you start thinking, well, I want to go out and change a million people's lives, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then
it's true.
It becomes
it's manageable.
Impersonal. It becomes impersonal as well because, you know, instead you're just picturing all these faceless bodies out there being affected by it instead of really the personal contact, which reading your book, it definitely felt like you were there with us. Or me or whatever, you know, talking to us about things that you've learned and are excited about that have helped you. And, hey, you can try this too. And I love that you have so many different of the coffee self-talk scripts that people can model and they can start using some of the ones as they are or just fit them to what their circumstances are or what feels right to them, resonates with them is, you know, what you were saying too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the other things, though, that people can change about themselves or their lives by using the coffee self-talk?
Well, the really profound thing that happens with your coffee self-talk or your positive self-talk, your affirmations, is that it goes to work deep inside your soul, and you really start to build a foundation of self-love and self-worth. And I like to think, like I said, I like to think that I loved myself before. I didn't love myself nearly as much as I do now. Like, I'm having a full-blown love affair with myself. It's like BFF with, like, lover-like. And the way I can explain it is, you know, if you imagine this great whirlwind romance and, you know, your partner is looking at you and saying, oh, I love you so much. Well, like, there's a deep kind of, like, sensuous feeling about it. And I want to be able to look at myself in the mirror and feel that level of, like, intimacy with myself. And I want to look in the mirror and feel like my own BFF, giving high fives and jumping around. And self-talk does that for you. And so no matter what you want to change in your life, if you want more love, if you want romance, if you want wealth and prosperity, if you want to heal, if you anything that you want, general or specific, it's going to be way easier to get when it comes from a foundation, a person who has that self-love, because it expands you, it opens you up, the blinders are blown off, and you start to see opportunities. Yeah, and so you see opportunities. What you focus on is what you attract, and so your life changes. So it helps with everything. And the great thing is self-talk has been used for decades. I mean, it's been studied clinically since the 60s. It's a well-established form of cognitive therapy for depression, anxiety, weight loss, PTSD, social skills, goal achievement, academic performance. I mean, you name it, you can work with it with your self-talk. So the reason it works, though, is because it gets down to that foundation of self-love and self-worth. And when you have that, your self-esteem is boosted. And so you show up to the world differently. You know, your shoulders are back, your head's tipped up a little higher, and you see more as a result.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, I'd like you to talk about also a little bit about how you had been into Tony Robbins, and I like to think of it as the personal development section at the bookstore, but personal development books and self-help books, whatever. You know, I've never liked the term self-help because it sounds like something's wrong with you, whereas personal development, I got from Nightingale Conant, they would, you know, it's about becoming more of yourself to me. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Language is important, so I love that.
What was that? Oh, language, yeah.
Language is important, so I love that, you know, personal development.
Yeah, yeah. So I wrote about that in my book, too, because, you know, I never liked the idea of it being called self-help, and so I just don't call it that. But my point is that you were into these type of things, and then you met your husband. Tell us a little bit about that, how that changed, how you looked at self-talk.
So this was in my late 20s. I had been doing Tony Robbins' work, and all those great authors were having an impact on my life. I had gone through a divorce. I had had, you know, my own dark challenges, and those authors and people like Tony Robbins, they helped me dig my way out. And so Tony Robbins had a program, I don't remember what it was called, but he had a little spiral-bound notebook that came with it, and it had room for writing stuff. So I created a list, very specific list, of what I was looking for in a partner. And I knew how I would feel with this person. I knew I would feel safe. I knew that I wanted things that we had in common. I knew that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted somebody who supported that. So I knew, I was very clear. I wanted someone with glasses because for me it symbolized, academic or smart, and maybe that's silly, but it's okay. It was what I wanted, you know?
Yeah.
So I had it. I had a list written. I had glitter pens and stickers and all that all over it. And it was just this list of what I wanted. So it was very detailed and focused.
Uh-huh.
And the cool thing that I didn't realize what I was doing was I wasn't just looking at the list and thinking about these things about this person. I was imagining how I would feel if that person were in my life. And lo and behold, I'm on eHarmony one night, and I meet my now husband, Greg, and his father is Shad Helmstetter, who is, you know, if Louise Hayes is like the mother of affirmations, his
mm-hmm.
father, Shad, is like the father of self-talk. He wrote a book a long
right.
time ago, I think it's back in the 80s, about what to say when you talk to yourself. And so I had always been doing my own form of self-talk. I just didn't know it was called self-talk. And
right.
as Greg and I were talking one time, we just, you know, I learned more, and of course he was no stranger to it, given who his father was. So it's kind of a funny story. So so here we are, hitting it off, and he ticked all my boxes, and we're living the whirlwind romance that I always knew I could have.
How long ago did you meet him, and how long have you two been married?
We met in 2005, and we got married in 2008. And we've
wow.
been together. So he was a consultant and owned his own business, and so he worked from home. I was
mm-hmm.
mostly working at home when we met. And so we've been together pretty much every day, all day long, ever since we met. So it's like, you know, when we were first dating and it had been like a year had gone by, I was like, you know, for normal people, this is like 3 years because we're together all the time. And it was great because we had so much fun. And
yeah,
so we work
yeah.
together now. You know, he helps edit my books. He designs my book covers. He still does his own consulting work. But we just have a blast working together.
Oh, well, you know, that's so funny that you should say that because my husband and I have been working together since 1985. And we have a design and photography business that he started actually in 1980. So it just had its 40-year anniversary last year. And so I'm no stranger to putting together layouts for books and him working mostly on the covers. And I like to work with the words and the pictures and how things are said. And so, but you're right. I mean, we're together basically all the time. And the good thing is, though, is that we've gotten used to working at home after our son, because we had a design studio in Sausalito that we used to go to. But we had gotten used to working from home while our son was in college. And so when the COVID hit last year, for us, working at home, we were already used to it. And so that made that so much more comfortable for us than it did for a lot of people that had to go from working in offices to working from home and that whole thing. But yeah,
we had the exact same experience. It didn't really change our life. We
mm-hmm.
just didn't go out as much was the thing. But we still just stayed home working, writing.
Yeah, same for us. I mean, it made it so that we had a little less work to do in some ways. But it gave us time to do more of what we love to do as well, our music and writing songs and singing and being part of West Coast Songwriters and going to my Toastmasters Club every Wednesday night. I'm in the most fun Toastmasters Club in the world. And tonight our theme's going to be the spirit of aloha.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. But because we had to go on Zoom last year, we've been doing it on Zoom every Wednesday night, we can have people from anywhere in the world join us. And it's been so fun. We've even had some people stop in to visit as guests from India and other countries. And some of the people that used to be in the club that moved to other areas, like Palm Desert, the woman who's going to be Table Topics leader with me being Toastmaster tonight, she lives down there, but she was able to rejoin the club because it's on Zoom now for the time being.
Yeah.
So. And it made us learn how to use Zoom, which was really awesome. You know, so those,
yep.
there were
silver
really
linings.
Cool things. Hmm?
Silver linings, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally silver linings about it. Now, the book is mainly for women. And are you going to have a book for men as well?
Yes. Yeah, so I wrote it. I am a woman. I wrote it.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, but But I never intended it to be strictly for women, but I figured it mostly would appeal to women. And I'm really into hearts and love and pink and all that. So
me too.
When
yeah.
I share, yeah, and so when I share the scripts, I include language because I really want to show people how far I go with my scripts. When I talk about, you know, I'm a glittery, shimmering being, you know, living a life
yeah.
of magic on a carpet ride, you know, so I want
right.
people to feel like they can go big. But I did have some women write to me and say, you know, I would love my husband to read this, but he's just not going to resonate with all the glitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that I have had some men read it. I had a guy write to me today from the UK, and
mm-hmm.
Shout out to John. He said he loved the book, and he was already feeling the changes immediately. Nonetheless,
cool.
I thought, I get it. I can appreciate what these women are saying. So we took the book, Coffee Self-Talk, and we
mm-hmm.
wrote Coffee Self-Talk. Well, I get it. I wrote Coffee Self-Talk for dudes. And it's basically the same book, but it has a different cover. And I took
mm-hmm.
out the feminine-leaning language, and I replaced it with either stuff that was neutral or more masculine. And
mm-hmm.
that is going to be available in a couple of days. And the funny thing, the really cool thing is when I was writing it and making my edits,
mm-hmm.
I was getting fired up. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like
I
explosive,
bet. I bet
you know,
then you'd be
bam,
going through
you know?
It line by line, sentence by sentence.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and
exactly.
the language was just as effective for me as a woman reading the dude book. Well, so here's an example.
Okay.
I use the word beautiful a lot in my scripts. And so I thought, okay, let's change this to attractive or handsome, you know, so like
okay.
things like that. But
mm-hmm.
the book is essentially the same. And so we're really excited to get it out in time for Father's Day. And, so that's the next one that's coming out for dudes.
Well, that's really exciting. You know, actually, I'm going to buy that one, too, because I want to be able to compare them. And I,
awesome.
You know, the thing is, I've always, this is one of the things, my brother, Dwayne, used to live down here for a while, down in Marin County. He lives up in Shasta County, California. So he's not here right now, but he used to love going with me to Book Passage to see Wayne Dyer talk and Deepak Chopra and a whole bunch of the other authors that used to come there. And he would always say, and Cheryl Richardson and Sonia Choquette
mm-hmm.
and Julia Cameron for The Artist's Way. And he was
mm-hmm.
like, Margo, there's almost all women at these things, and there's not really very many men, you know.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Tony Robbins and Wayne Dyer have more men that show up at theirs. But, you know, some of the authors, it's like they have really good stuff, but it's geared so much just for women that men would feel silly reading the books. So I think it's really cool that you're doing one that's specifically for men as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get
out
there.
Either one could probably be for either men or women.
It's true.
Yeah, now I'm super curious to see the cover of the one for men.
Ooh, it's good. It's good, but I won't give any
away.
So
it'll be available on Amazon and what date?
It's possible. Well, it's got to go through the I'm going to say maybe 2 or 3 days is when people can actually, you know, hit the buy button.
Okay, cool. And they can get the Coffee Self-Talk book itself on Amazon, and they can get it in hardcover, Kindle, and I think I saw some people had softcover versions of it as well. I have the hardcover, and I'm really glad I got the hardcover because that way it'll last better. But
yes, it's it's available in, if you do ebook, you know, there's Kobo and iBooks and all that, but the softcover is probably what sells the most. But you can go into any bookstore and ask for it, and they can order it.
Okay, cool. All right. So let's see. What else did I want to ask you? So are the techniques working well for the people that are reading it? I think you've kind of already answered that, but I was wondering about that. What's some of the feedback that you've gotten from people that are reading it?
Yeah, it's overwhelming, the feedback, in the most beautiful way. I mean, I get chills, or sometimes I cry. I mean, I get emails every day about people saying, I didn't realize that this was possible, or I've been so, you know, terrible to myself, and I'm turning that around. And people with anxiety write to me. People who are going through grief write saying how their self-talk has helped them with their grief. And then there's just the people who were kind of like me. I I was living a decent, good life by anybody's standards, but
mm-hmm.
I just didn't shine. I didn't sparkle. And so the book helped them find it's like it gave them more permission to just really put themselves out there.
And to find
it's
sparkle.
Yeah, exactly. It's I'm just honored to get the emails that I get from people saying how much it's helped them.
Oh, it's making me feel really good just hearing about it. You know, we only have less than 10 minutes left.
What?
I can't believe it. I have so many more things I want to talk to you about. So we're definitely going to have you back on so we can have a talk about some of the things we aren't going to get to today. But I would love to hear about, and I'm sure the people who've been reading your book would love to hear about, you moving to Italy and especially being in Arizona for part of the beginning of COVID, but then going over to Italy. And so tell us a little bit about that. It's got to be a brief version, though, since we only have less than 10 minutes. But
okay, so we basically decided to sell it all and travel the world. This was back in 2018. And at the time, my daughter was 7, and mm-hmm. I really wanted to show my daughter just different cultures, different ways of living, you know, mm-hmm. what goes on in America is not the only way to do things. And so we traveled around Europe, and we had plans to go many other places, but while we were traveling, I'm sorry, before we actually left, but while we were doing all the planning, my husband was listening to a podcast, and somebody said that if you had Italian descent and you could prove, you know, your Italian blood, that you could get dual citizenship. And that really appealed to us because we wanted to travel, but we wanted to make sure we stayed somewhere long enough to really get a feel. Like, it's not you go in for a week and you leave. We want to go somewhere for a few months.
Right,
and
right.
Really get to know the place. Yeah, so mm-hmm. we went for my through my heritage, dual citizenship with Italy. And so through part of our traveling, we went to Italy to do it. Now, you can do that stateside, but it's an easier process if you're in country. And we were traveling anyway. So we mm-hmm. went to Italy, and long story short, got the dual citizenship, and we just fell in love. We fell in love with the culture and the people and the food and the history and the language. And so we decided to stop traveling. I mean, we had these big plans to Thailand and, you know, Australia, New Zealand, and we were like, no, we want to stay in Italy for a while. So we hunkered down, and we were traveling around Italy to find where exactly we wanted to land and, mm-hmm. and you know, like rent an apartment long-term and stuff. And during this time, we came back to the United States for a visit just because it was that time of year. You know, it was February. We were like, let's go visit our family. So we came back to mm-hmm. Arizona just as COVID was breaking out last year.
Wow.
And our month-long stint turned into 6 months. So we didn't end up going back to Italy until August. And then so we went to Italy in August, started actually living there, like long-term apartment rental and, you know, buying a blender and, you know, all these things that I never had
right.
before when I was traveling because
uh-huh.
it didn't fit in my suitcase.
Right,
and,
right.
And then we decided, some stuff happened. Again, life's flow knocks on your door, says,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you thought you were going to be here longer, but we're going to send you back to the United States for a bit. So all amazing opportunities. So we came back to the States. And so as of now, we split our time between Arizona and Italy. So we will go back to Italy, but we're in
mm-hmm.
we're in America for right now.
Wow, that is amazing. And, you know, I really enjoyed reading one of your novels. I read the first one, which was called Lockdown Love, and it was so amazing because the title really appealed to me because our son, who's 31 now, he was 30 last year, he met his girlfriend that he has now because of the lockdown. And she lives in Italy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So on April 26th last year, she decided she was bored and she signed up for a dating app in L.A. He lives in Southern California. He works as a film editor on a TV series. And so anyway, they started messaging each other and then doing, like, FaceTime and then Zoom. I, you know, got him started on using Zoom to do dates with her, and she invited him to go there for Christmas and his birthday, which is New Year's Day. So he went there. He had to be there for 2 weeks in quarantine with her. And she they live, like, I think about 40 minutes. Her family lives about 40 minutes from Rome. But, yeah, I mean, it was just, it's this most amazing thing, and they're still together, and now they're trying to figure out how they can get her to come to California for a visit, because I guess they're still not allowing people from Italian people to come to the United States. Is that true?
Yes, that is true, unless you're married.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a friend in a similar situation, but, you know, that's not going to be forever. And Italy is just now opening up their traveling restrictions to allowing people to come to Italy. So I just, it's a matter of time, probably less than you think. So that'll all change. But that's,
well, we've
that's
met her
cool
on Zoom
story.
And she's delightful, and we can't wait to meet her in person. So it's a cool story, and it reminded me a lot, though, of that book, and the book reminded me of their situation, although they haven't been together in one place, like in the book. But yeah, it's just, okay, Kristen, we've got less than four minutes left. So what would you like to leave our listeners, I'm thinking of the books, our listeners with?
Well, I would love just to share just, you know, the importance again of all the words that are in your head, that dialogue that's going on in your mind, right? It's profound for directing your life, and you have the power to make your life what you want, and you have the ability to be happy and feel blessed and excited about things no matter what the circumstances are externally. I mean, there's something very magical about it, and I'm living proof, and so are all the other people out there doing it. And so if you just start with those words that you use and just watch them, you know, be mindful of how you talk to yourself, how you think, you know, how you respond to the way you see yourself in the mirror, or how your clothes fit on you, and you know, just really focusing on your self-talk, and just watch your life change. It's profound.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because there's so many different ways that you can change it with the self-talk, for some people especially, it's going to be overwhelming. So to just choose a certain area and focus on that, and then build on that, would you agree?
Yeah, and it's a great tip, because what happens is when you focus on one area, everything else improves. You didn't even have to focus on abundance. You could be focusing on your health or love and watch everything else start to get better. So, yeah, it doesn't matter where you start.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes
I just want to say sometimes
it's as simple as being really gentle with yourself. And you can just start with a simple, I am kind. You know, for people that aren't ready to say, I'm a blazing rocket shooting to the stars, I'm amazing, you can just start with, I am kind, and just say that over and over.
Yeah, it's so funny that you should say that, because I shared a poster I found on Instagram, on my Instagram, but also in the Facebook group, and it's somebody else's, but I gave credit to them. Look in a mirror and repeat, I am kind, I am healthy, I am happy, I am loved, I am enough.
Yes.
And
it's beautiful.
Just, you know, it reminded me so much of what you were saying in the book.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you for your book. Thank you for being on my podcast today. And be sure to share it with your readers and listeners. Everybody out there, share this show, you know, because it's... And listen to it again, because they're going to get something more out of it each time they listen to it. But
it's true. Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, you are definitely what Live Your Music is about. It means to live from your heart. Wayne Dyer always said, don't die with your music still in you. And I thought, how can I say it without the die? Live your music. That's where it came from.
We are kindred spirits. Yes.
Yes, 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 the kindred spirits. All right. Well, bye for now, Kristen. Bye for now, everyone. Get out there and live your music. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.